All right. So a couple of weeks ago or so, we began a summer series on Psalm 23. And when we began that series, it wasn't quite summer. We had passed Labor Day, and I was counting that as the gateway into summer. But we are going to cross that summer barrier this week, aren't we? On the calendar, at least. So we really can't have a summer series on Psalm 23 now. I urged us, when we started last time, to memorize Psalm 23. Now, I ask you to raise your hands if you had it memorized, and a couple of two or three or so, five or six, raise their hands if they had it memorized. And again, I urged us to memorize it so that, in fact, we can hide God's word in our heart so that we might not sin against him. As I was praying earlier, I think sometimes sin and weakness and frailty, soul hunger, takes place in our lives on a Tuesday afternoon or a Thursday night or in the middle of the night on a Friday night when we're awake for whatever reason, because we aren't living in light of the grand, grand truths of Psalm 23. That the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want for any good thing that he knows that my soul needs. And so we slip into sin, or we slip out of green pastures, or we find ourselves by some rushing loud waters in our lives. And it's not overly complicated. We just sort of slipped away from the grand truth of this wonderful psalm. So I was just going to say, is there anybody who took that challenge of memorizing it, carry on with that challenge of memorizing it? But anybody want to try this morning to stand up and recite it? You can recite it from the version of your choice. So anybody want to do that this morning? If you do, just raise your hand. We'll let you do it. If not, we'll wait till next time. I'm not seeing any hands. Nobody wants to be on the spot this morning. All right, well, I put the challenge before us again. Let's try to commit to memory Psalm 23. And so this morning, well, here's what we did last time. Let's do it again. And this is from the ESV version. So let's just read it aloud together, out loud. Just together, what's that called? In unison, reading it in unison together, reading the whole of the six verses. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Very good. So Psalm 23 is a rich psalm in which you as a believer this morning can embrace your blessed identity. You are the Lord's sheep. And we spent time last time talking about the significance of that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord. Anybody remember what we emphasized there? When we see that in the Old Testament, capital L-O-R-D, what is that and who's it talking about? So about Yahweh, the proper name of God. Not just a title of some office that he holds, but his proper name, which means I am. Lord, who will I tell them that sent me to come to them? You tell them that I am, sent you. It's a name that indicates that God is the ever-present, all-powerful, eternal, sovereign God of heaven and earth, who possesses all things, controls all events, peoples, and relationships. He's Jehovah or Yahweh. And we also saw that when we see L-O-R-D in the Old Testament, Jehovah, Yahweh, I am, we come over to the New Testament, and that translates to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who repeatedly offended and just kind of punched in the face, so to speak, the Pharisees with his I ams. Most notably, John 10:10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd that lays down his life for his own sheep. And so Psalm 23 is that rich psalm in which you can embrace your blessed identity. And Psalm 23 is a rich psalm in which, as a believer, you can enjoy your shepherd's every provision. Because he is Yahweh, Jehovah, he never lacks. And because he never lacks, that's the basis on which you can say you will never lack what you need in your life, in your soul, now and forever. His grace, his provision, his power, his presence, his protection are all you will ever need. Now, here's a question I want to ask this morning, and hopefully you can correct me here or help me out here. Did I say last time that Psalm 23 is not highfalutin poetry? Glenn Motz came to me afterwards and said, highfalutin poetry, huh? And I went back and think, did I say that it's not highfalutin? Please tell me I did not say that Psalm 23 is not highfalutin poetry.
You said it's not just highfalutin.
That's what I hoped I said. I hoped that I used a word that Pastor Justin taught me to use many, many years ago. I'd hoped that I'd said that Psalm 23 is not merely highfalutin poetry, because it's absolutely highfalutin poetry. Absolutely. It's poetry of the highest level. And as such, it's just chock full of expressive metaphorical language, like poetry tends to be. And so it's poetry, yes, at the highest level, but it's so much more than that. Psalm 23 is also sound theology at the highest level. In other words, this is a poem that's in an entirely different universe than roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. That's not necessarily sound theological, base your life on it, rock solid theological truth, but Psalm 1 is. There's something else about Psalm 1 in terms of it sort of having a multiple genre. It's not only high level poetry, but it's also personal gospel testimony as well. Again, roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, so are you. May or may not apply to someone else. May not even apply to you. But if you're a Christian, you can say, the Lord, Jehovah God, is my shepherd. Which is a personal testimony that you are his sheep. And that is so metaphorically packed full and descriptive. But Christian, you're not a sheep. You're a person. But are you a sheep? According to this great theological gospel poem, yes, you are a sheep. Metaphorically, you are a sheep. You are like a sheep. In every way, you have the needs for the provision and the protection that a sheep has, and you have a shepherd, Jehovah God, who cares for you, who feeds you, and who leads you, and who protects you. And so our focus today, then, is going to be on these two rich theological gospel metaphors in verse 2. As I said, we're just going to take our time. We're just going to wade through Psalm 23 over the next few weeks of the summer. So here's our focus this morning. It's just right here in verse 2. I'm going to put it in red there for us. These two rich, rich theological gospel metaphors. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. Here's the first one. Here's the rich metaphor here. Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, my shepherd, as we read it in this psalm, my shepherd makes me do something. I mean, it's just in the language, right? First of all, who's the he? The Lord, my shepherd. And he makes me do something. What does he make me do? I mean, just look at it. He makes me lie down. What's that, Carol?
I don't know what to think about that one on the top right. He's lying down. He's out of it.
He's resting. He's resting. All right. He makes me lie down. Where? Green pastures. Singular or plural? Green pastures. There's not a singular green pasture that he makes me lie down in. There are multiple green pastures. There's a pasture here, which he makes me lie down. There's a pasture here, in which he makes me lie down. There's a pasture over there, in which he makes me lie down. There's these multiple pastures in which my soul can find its rest. Richard Baxter says, not only does my shepherd possess green pastures to lead me into, which shows his richness, but he leads me into them and makes me lie down in his green pastures, which shows his goodness. I think there are two gospel truths, at least two gospel truths, that flow out of this rich poetic metaphor that he makes me lie down in green pastures. Here they are. The first one is peaceful rest, makes me lie down, and in green pastures, plentiful food. Philip Keller was a longtime pastor, and Philip Keller was not only a pastor, he was also a literal shepherd. So he pastored people, and he pastored sheep as well. And a number of years ago, he wrote a book entitled, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And according to Keller's shepherd experience, he wrote that sheep will not lie down anywhere, anytime. They will not lie down if they have a sense of threatening fear close by them. Nor would they lie down if they have any sense of hunger. If they needed food, they would not lie down because they'd be in search for food, for nourishment. But what is it we see in this psalm? In this psalm, here's what we see. We see a sheep. That's you, believer. It's got to be personal. We're talking about a singular sheep here. The Lord is my shepherd. Think about that. We see a sheep comfortably at rest and lying down because the shepherd has brought this sheep into a safe place, lush green pasture that are places of peaceful rest and plentiful food. Now, here's something I've tended to do before I started really digging into and kind of just thinking about this psalm. I tended to think that the main purpose, knowing about sheep and shepherds, I tended to think that the main purpose of the lush green pasture was for food, that he would give them plenty of nourishment. But as we've already noticed, that's not the first thing that's mentioned in verse 2. The first thing that's mentioned in verse 2 is not a sheep chomping on luscious green grass. The first thing that's mentioned in verse 2 is a sheep that's lying down, that's resting, a sheep that's at peace. It's not agitated. It's not fearful. It's trusting its shepherd, and it's trusting the person and the provision of the shepherd who has made it to lie down in those green pastures. There then to eat their full of his provision. So plenty of peaceful rest, plentiful food, and this this double dual purpose of a good pasture providing both peaceful rest and plentiful food. We also see that in Ezekiel 34. In Ezekiel 34, the Lord sees all these kind of rotten, no good shepherds over his people Israel who have led them astray, who have not fed them well. They've been in captivity. They're scattered around. And the Lord, through the prophet, says, I'm going to be a shepherd to my people. And this, is, of course, easily applies to the gospel, where the Lord says to his people, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, those dry, arid places. And I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. And there they shall lie down in good grazing land. And on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. This is what the Lord said he was going to do, bring his people out of captivity. Of course, this is what he is going to do for us in the rich truths of the gospel. Bring us out from those arid existences into his land, into good grazing land, where we have good food and good nourishment, where we'll lie down and feed on himself and on his truth. So this idea then, I think I still have this slide here, this idea of peaceful rest points to the peaceful rest of the believer's soul through Christ their shepherd. This idea of plentiful food instructs us that the shepherd makes his sheep to lie down in pastures that consist of plentiful food for them. And these lush green pastures, plural, are never barren. If life seems barren and bare and hard and dry to you, ask yourself, am I lying down in one of my Lord's green pastures? Because his pastures are never barren. They're never bare. They're never parched. They're always a green pasture for faith to feed in. But we have to ask a couple of really important questions. We have to ask, for example, if these pastures are multiple, they're plural, what are these green pastures that provide peaceful rest and plentiful food for the sheep of the Good Shepherd, who is the great shepherd of their souls? We have to ask this question, because if we don't ask this question, we're going to find ourselves living in spiritual Vaguesville. We're just going to be making up things. This doesn't feel like a green pasture. And we don't have to live in spiritual Vaguesville. We don't have to lean to our own understandings and make up and try to imagine and try to dream what these green pastures are that our good shepherd is going to make us to lie down in. So I want to mention two. Remember, there are multiple, but I want to mention two green pastures this morning that I know that our Lord wants us to be lying down in. Here's the first one. The green pasture of the gospel of Christ, where there is peaceful rest and plentiful food for our souls. Yeah, that's not Vaguesville. Now we're talking about something very specific. We're talking about a green pasture, and over that pasture, if there were a gate in it, and we would open the gate into that pasture, the gate would lead us into the green pasture of the gospel of Christ, where we find peaceful rest for our souls and plentiful food for our souls as well. Here's another specific green pasture we want to consider this morning, and that's the green pastures of the ordinances of Christ, where there's peaceful rest and plentiful food for for our souls. So here's a green pasture over here. It has a gate to it. And on that gate, it would be the green pastures of Christ's ordinances for his sheep. Let's take those one at a time. So the green pasture of the gospel of Christ, where there's peaceful rest for the soul and plenteous food for the soul. As we already said, we already made note. This psalm does not begin with the action of the sheep and things they do. It does not begin with the actions of the sheep trying to find a green pasture to lie down in. It begins with the sheep being told by their shepherd, based on who I am and based on my full provision for you, lie down. It's a reminder that the Christian life also does not begin with what we do. The Christian life begins with resting in Christ and his finished work for us. What a lush, lush green pasture for lying down in is the gospel. Here in this green pasture of the gospel, here there is no place for your works. You don't get into that pasture by your works. Here there's only a place for faith to lie down and rest from its works and to feed and trust fully upon the perfect life of the shepherd who lived for and laid down his life for the sheep. Just a couple of verses that tell that assure us that there is a pasture that we can call the green pasture of the gospel of Christ. Sheep of Christ, your good shepherd says these words, come to me. I'm the pastor. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will definitely, assuredly give you rest. Or peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. That's rest of soul. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. A sheep is not going to lie down if it has any sense of fear around itself. And the good shepherd says, I give you a peace. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You don't need to be afraid. In the green pastures of the gospel of Christ, faith also, because we lie down, but we also eat. So in the green pasture of the gospel of Christ, faith feeds upon the promises and the provisions of God in the gospel. See, now we're not living in Vagueville. We're not just saying in some kind of theoretical kind of way, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in green pastures. I have no idea what they are, but he leads me in green pastures. Now we can know what they are. There's the full promises and provisions of the gospel. I mean, think about the wad of grass this would be in your mouth as a sheep of Christ in his lush pasture. God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, let me just lie down right there. Munch on that for a little while. You can. You should. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Really? Are you peace with God? That's what you have? Through the work and the provisions and the promises of your good shepherd through the gospel? Lie down. Peace with God. The warfare is ended. He calls you his sheep. He cares for you as your sheep, and this is rich food for your soul. I want to ask you a personal question this morning. Christian, in your day in, day out life, do you live with sort of a sense of fear? You live with sort of a sense of agitation that keeps you from lying down and feeding to the full on the promises of the gospel of Christ? Sometimes we talk about someone having a low-grade fever. Do you live with sort of a low-grade lack of assurance that keeps your soul a little restless and a little agitated? Because your good shepherd who gave his life for you and who made every provision for your soul, he's the one who says to you, lie down. Rest your soul in me. Graze to your full on the lush green grass of my love and my promises to you in the gospel. I'm going to tweak a little word in a hymn that we know. Jesus, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the goodness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze. I'm going to tweak that a little bit. Thou hast bid me graze upon thee. And thy beauty fills up, nourishes, feeds, and your beauty fills my soul. There in the gospel of Christ, our shepherd, in our souls, there need not be a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry. Touch the spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. That's one of the green pastures, the green pasture of the gospel of Christ for his sheep. Here's that second, just another green pasture going into this gate over here. The green pastures, we could say here, of the ordinances of Christ. Sometimes we call these the means of grace. And again, just two of them this morning because of time, but two of the ordinances of Christ where he means for his sheep to find peaceful rest and plentiful food for their soul. Here's one. The green pasture of the preached word. That Christ, the good shepherd, feeds to his sheep by under-shepherds who feed the souls of his flock. He's got you covered in every way. The rich food of Christ's preached word nourishes the souls of his people. And this is a food from his word. It's lush green grass. It's food from his word that will never grow old. It will never spoil. It will never go out of date. There's no shelf life on it. It will never pass away. And it will never return to him void. This is good food. And as such, this rich food of his word comforts and nourishes and feeds its people. By his preached word, they can lie down in life. You can lie down. After hearing God's word preached today here in the public worship of his people, you can go out here and lie down in confidence today. You can lie down knowing that your shepherd will never leave you and he will never forsake you. That's what he tells us in his word. You will know that your shepherd will be with you to the end of the age and then forever. You can lie down in that. You can feed on that. You can know that your shepherd will now allow nothing to harm you or to wrest you out of his care. You can know that he's causing all things to work together for your good. You can just lie down right there. That's what his word tells you. You can know that he's prepared a place for you. He's going to come again and take you to that place. What rest of soul. You can know that he's sovereign over all things, all events, and all people. You can lie down in the rich food of his word as it directs and strengthens your soul. Where's the second green pasture that's an ordinance of Christ that it brings peaceful rest and plentiful food for our souls? And that's this. This is an ordinance. This is something Christ set out for his people. It's the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, in which his sheep, by faith, feed upon the love and the sacrifice of the shepherd himself for them. Yeah, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Don't ever forget that. In fact, he says to his sheep at the Lord's table, in fact, remember this. Remember this. Take this food. This is my body, which was broken for you. Take and eat it. That's some rich grass right there. This is my blood that I poured out for you. Drink it. Feed and drink from me. And as believers, feed upon Christ. Oh, beloved, they are in a rich, lush, green pasture. They are feasting upon Christ. And one at the same time, the souls of believers are comforted. They can lie down with the peace of the gospel, as well as eat again and be invigorated and continue to walk with the shepherd until he comes for them. So just in summary of that first thing, in these green pastures of grace, the green pastures of the gospel, the green pastures of the preached word, the green pastures of the Lord's Supper, Christ's sheep are made to lie down, signifying peaceful rest and plentiful food for their souls. What a great shepherd. And here's that second metaphor in verse 2. He leads me beside still waters. Singular or plural? Plural. Just like there were plural pastures, there are plural streams of waters. Not just one singular stream, but multiple streams of grace and mercy that he leads us into. He leads me beside still waters. We've all heard these comparisons made before. He does not lead me beside rushing loud waters that frighten the sheep or that cause them to fear that if they go too close, they might fall in and their wool become waterlogged and they'd be dragged into the water and drowned. Not that kind of water. He does not lead me at all, ever. If you're in a stagnant standing pool, your shepherd hasn't led you there. It's not where he's going to lead your soul. Not in stagnant standing pools of water that gather soul pollutants and soul poisons. Not there. Not there, beloved. Not there ever. That's not what he has for you. Not that. But here. But he leads me beside still, cool, gentle flowing streams that offer life-sustaining refreshment. And notice once again that it's the shepherd who takes the initiative, the caring initiative to do this for his sheep. His sheep absolutely, absolutely must have life-sustaining fresh water to survive. But they never have to seek and search and find and invent their own sources of life-refreshing water. He graciously and faithfully leads them to refreshing, life-sustaining waters. And it's not some kind of a spiritual mystery. It's not some kind of a mystical mystery of how the good shepherd leads his sheep to these refreshing waters. Once again, we have to ask these questions and we have to think about this because if we don't, we're going to live in spiritual vaguesville. He leads me beside still waters. And he's going to lead you beside those life-sustaining waters by his word and by his spirit. You don't have to make up life-sustaining fresh waters. You don't have to imagine what they are. You don't have to wonder, that sounds great. That sounds great. Who wants stagnant pools of water? Where do I find those life-sustaining waters? Well, first of all, he's going to lead you to them. And he's going to lead you by his word. And he's going to lead you by his spirit. That's what he's promised to do. So we have to ask this important question again. What are these still waters, plural, that provide refreshment to the sheep of the good shepherd, who is the great shepherd of their souls? There are various streams. We're going to talk briefly about these four that come straight from God's word. The refreshing streams of God's everlasting covenant love. The refreshing streams of Christ himself. The refreshing streams of God's promises. And the refreshing streams of God's eternal gospel hope in our lives. Look at those briefly. First of all, here's one of those streams. Remember, it's plural, so that's why we've got multiple streams. So the refreshing streams of God's everlasting love. Reading from Psalm 36, 7 and 8. How precious is your steadfast love. That's that covenant love of God. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. That's one metaphor. They feast on the abundance of your house. That's one metaphor. And then this one. And you give them drink from the river of your delights. The great plague of our souls, we read of in Jeremiah 2:13. The great plague of our soul. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Here are these two evils that describe our lost, fallen condition. Evil number one, we've forsaken the one who's the fountain of living waters. I don't want those living waters. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to hew myself out a cistern, and it's going to be a cistern that's going to hold no life-giving waters, no life-sustaining waters at all. What a terrible plight, what a terrible condition. And then we consider the great everlasting love of God. And there he gives to them to drink from the rivers of his delights to our soul. Right at the end of Scripture, we hear where these rivers of delight come from. They're not rivers we invent. They're not rivers that we dig out. They're not Suez canals that we can build for ourselves, anything like that. And the angel showed me, or not the Panama Canal is what I meant, not the Panama Canal, but then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. The river of the water of life. Hear that. The river of the water of life. Life-giving, life-sustaining waters, bright as crystal, and they flow from the throne of God and of the Lamb. God's love is the very source of water, and he would have us to turn to him and away from our broken cisterns that hold no water to his rivers of delight that flow from his throne to his people. The refreshing streams of Christ himself. John 4, Christ is at the well with the woman at the well. She's drunk from this well. She's drunk from that well. She's drunk from all dissatisfied in her life. And here's part of the discourse that the Lord has with her. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, who's standing right in front of you, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 7:37. On the last day of the feast, he's speaking to the Pharisees who had all their religious trappings. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirst, let him come to me, and drink. Let them turn away from their broken cisterns that they've hewn out that will hold no water for them and turn to me, and I will give to them the living water. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. There's your sweet, life-sustaining water in Christ that he promises that he will give to all who come to him from the spring of the water of life without payment. The refreshing streams of God's promises from which we can daily draw and drink. I'm thinking about Isaiah 12:3, where we just read, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Not simply at the point of your conversion, but every day, based upon God's goodness and God's promises, we can go to that well. Whoever went to a well one time? You don't go to a well one time. You go to a well over and over. You go to a well, when we used to have wells, you would go daily to a well. You go multiple times to a well. And we can go multiple times to that stream of living water through the promises of God. And with joy, draw water from the wells, also plural, of salvation. The refreshing streams of God's eternal gospel hope. Here's this promise to us. Here's where, you know, when things are tough and rough and aren't looking so great, you can know, but there's a stream I can go to. And there's a stream that tells me that I can look forward to something for all eternity. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. He will be their shepherd, not just now, but forever. And he will guide them, not just now, forever. He will guide them to springs of living water, now and forever. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There's a refreshing stream. You're looking at the news. You're watching TV. You're hearing all the crazy things that are going on out there. Say, Lord, I'm just going to go drink. I'm going to go drink a little bit by that stream of living water that you provided for me of an eternal hope, knowing that you're going to take away all my thirst. And you're going to guide me to a spring of living water forever and forever. All my life long, I had panted for a drink from some clear spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah! I have found him whom my soul has so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood, I now am saved. These are just some of the green pastures and some of the refreshing streams that our good shepherd leads us into and makes us to lie down. So stay away from Vegasville. Live in light of the true green pastures and the true living waters or streams of waters that your Lord will lead you into this afternoon, tomorrow, Thursday at 2 p.m., and forever. Let's pray. Lord, you are our good shepherd. What can we say? You are our good shepherd. We don't have to live with agitated souls. And we don't have to live with unsatisfied souls. So give us the grace to, by faith, eat and drink of your lush green pastures and your life-sustaining waters. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll be dismissed for a coffee break.